find an authorized version of the Holy Scriptures before you in the pew. Pick it up and turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30, and we're commencing our reading at verse 24. 24th verse of the 30th chapter of the book of Proverbs. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them in bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. A lion which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away from any. A greyhound, and he goat also, and a king, against whom there is no rising up. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. Amen. And God will add his own blessing to this reading from his very own infallible book. It may perhaps alarm you, the title of my sermon tonight, People Before Man Upon the Earth, and Folks Among the Rocks Before Adam. But I draw your attention to the word of truth, of Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 25 and verse 26. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. Before Adam, there was, of course, no human being on the earth, but as the creatures were all made before Adam, on the fifth and sixth days of creation, there were people on the earth. We had this people, the ants, are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. And the conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. Hear the inspired text of God refers us to a people and refers us to a feeble folk. And the reason is that in these two small, despised creatures, the whole of the gospel in its simplicity is revealed. Such is the wonderful thing about this book of God. We have here in these two verses in type the simple gospel, richly set out in some very sublime manner, and a great mass of truth contained. shamed in the behavior of these very little creatures. Could I say bulk is not necessarily potential? Greatness in magnitude can also be synonymous with littleness in ability. That is a patent proof which is illustrated in the whole world around us. Yet many of us are so foolish that we very readily forget it. A big man can mean a little soul. Not necessarily, but it can. A little man can indicate a soul with great wisdom. Infinitesimal ability often resides in an immense humanity. Other times, greatness is greatness minus, and littleness is littleness plus. There is in a pound a requirement in one set of tables, 16 ounces. There's another set of tables that tells us the pound only requires 12 ounces. You see, the butcher has a different table from the silversmith. As they apply their trade, their tables are different. It is the end and not the bulk that manifests the greatness of the commodity. Little can be infinite in its volume. On the whole of creation, God has set his signature. He has autographed it all. And he has certainly autographed the little ant and autographed the little coney. The ant, that only occurs twice in the Word of God. Turn over to the 6th chapter of Proverbs, and you will find in the 6th chapter of Proverbs these words: "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of thy hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that troubleth, and thy want as an armed man." That's the first reference. The second reference is in my text. One text complements the other. What a school teacher the little ant is. But the little ant is a school teacher to the sluggard, the sleeping person, the unawaked sinner, and the person that's unaware of what is going to come. Here we have a picture of the sleeping sinner. He's unawake. He doesn't realize that he has got a summer of opportunity. And he doesn't work for the great, dark, and terrible day of judgment. This is a truth that needs to be emphasized today. Both these texts about the ant emphasize this same truth. There's an impoverishing to death. It's going to come. There is a traveling. And what does it say about that traveling in that sixth chapter? What a pictorial picture we have of that traveling. Thy poverty shall come as one that travels. A man that travels to hell goes down from one impoverishment to another until he is impoverished of his soul. And the soul is lost in eternal hell forever. The sleeping sinner needs to be awakened. Every person in this world has a summertime. It may be a long summertime, or it may be a short summertime. It is the time of opportunity. It is a time when you can awake. You can cast your eye to the future. You can see the end of the summer. And you can see the end of the harvest. And you can see what you've got to face. But what are you doing, sinner? Have you put the slammed on the shock brakes on your life? And have you said to yourself, I better use this summer opportunity to awaken and to be ready and prepare for the harvest. Every man and woman, every boy and girl is preparing for the harvest. This is your summertime. This might be the last day of your summertime. Perhaps most of the summer for you is already gone. Perhaps most of the summer for you has already fled away. Fled away. This little ant, this tiny little creature is wiser than you. It knows that after summer there'll be nothing it can eat. It knows that after summer it will have no food. It will have no refreshment. It will have nothing to keep it alive. So it makes preparation. And it uses the time of opportunity, the summer, to lay up for the harvest. And here you are tonight in this house of God. And you have had a summer. And you have wasted it. You have had an opportunity to face the fact of the terrible harvest and the awful reaping. What have you done? You wasted your summer in the sins of this earth and the paltry pleasures that cannot satisfy. And the summer's going. There's a word from God to you tonight from His holy book. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Learn something. When the harvest is past and the summer is gone, and sermons and prayers shall be o'er, when the beams cease to break of the blessed Lord's day morn, and Jesus invites you no more. When the rich gales of mercy no longer shall blow, the gospel no message declare, sinner, how canst thou bear the deep wailings of old? How suffer night of despair? When the holy have gone to the regions of peace, to dwell in the mansions above, when their harmony wakes in the fullness of bliss, their songs to the Savior they love. Say, O sinner, that livest at rest and secure, who fearest no trouble to come, can thy spirit the swellings of sorrow endure, or bear then the impenitent's doom? When the harvest is past and the summer is o'er, with the wheat or the tares, when the judgment appears, oh, which will it be evermore? Let us turn to the second picture. The second picture is about a kone, which is a very small animal, much like a rabbit. And it says something about this little animal. It tells us about this little animal that it's a feeble folk, yet make they their homes in the rocks. Here we have the picture of a tenant that's very, very weak. The word there in the Hebrew, the ants are a people very, very weak. They're not strong. Yet they make their houses in the rocks. You see, the rabbit doesn't make its house in the rocks. The rabbit borrows. Why does the rabbit borrow? Because it has hard feet. But the coney hasn't hard feet. It couldn't borrow through the softest soil. Its feet would be broken and bleeding and smashed. So this little creature is wise enough not to attempt a job that it couldn't do. It couldn't build itself a shelter. Sinner, aren't you a fool when you think you can build yourself a shelter? Aren't you a fool when you think you can tenant your soul for eternity in a place of safety made by yourself? Judgment will I lay to the line, and the righteousness to the plummet, and the heel will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. So what does this little creature do? A little creature that is weak. It's very feeble. It's very lacking in common sense. And yet it preaches us the true gospel witnesses. It goes to a place prepared by the Creator. It was the Creator that made the rocks and laid them with their spaces to provide a shelter in the time of storm. It doesn't borrow and cut its feet and engage in works of its own to get itself a shelter. No. It goes and hides in the rock already prepared. It depends upon the shelter of God's making and the rock of God's creation. I remember asking an old Christian one day when I was a boy, and that's many, many years ago, you know that when you look at me, although I feel very well. A fellow asking me, was I going to die? I said, I'm like Mark Twain, who said that rumors about my death are very much exaggerated. Let my enemies take note. I'm going to be around for some time. In fact, I heard about a man comparing me to the Queen and saying they'll never get rid of Paisley and anybody that's about him are just like Prince Charlie. Well, I don't know about that, but I know I'm in good health and I can take 3 good meals in the day, and if I got a 4th one, I wouldn't refuse it. But all I can say to you is this, about this man that I approached. I said, I like that word, Rock of Ages. But it is not in the Bible. What a stupid man I was, or boy I was. That is in the Bible. And if you turn in your Bible, provided it has a marginal reference in it, if it hasn't a marginal reference, and you're a Bible student, you should buy a Bible, an authorized version, of course, with the Bible margin. And if you turn to the book of Isaiah, turn over to that, chapter 26, there you will find that word, the word about the rocks of ages. 26th chapter of Isaiah, and at the verse 4. Now what does it say? Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And if you have a marginal Bible, the Lord Jehovah is the Rock of Ages. The Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Before us, the Lord has set himself as the great shelter, as a house that will never fall, for it's founded on the rock. And if you turn over to Peter, 1 Peter at the chapter 2, you'll read these words. 1 Peter chapter 2. And it tells us here about this great rock, this great stone that is laid. To whom coming, verse 4, mark it in your Bible. Chapter 2 of 1 Peter, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up as spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a rock of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Were you appointed to be disobedient? Or have you fled for refuge to the Rock of Ages? On Christ alone his church is built. He absolves from guilt. To him alone our praise we bring, and him the great foundation. Tonight it just broke on the news that the police are investigating who the new cardinal at Westminster because he has been accused of standing in a place and subverting the law of this country to cover up the affairs of a pedophile priest. There's Rome at its head in this country. There's Rome as she always is, an evil system well called by the Holy Ghost the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. There will be more exposures. This week we saw the Clotty bombing, didn't we? And we heard Mr. Cooper saying he knew that. Why didn't he tell it? It's a bit late in telling it now, wasn't it? When he said that this knowledge he was sure about it long ago. The cover over. There'll be more things as the days proceed. You say, how do you know? Because I pray a prayer every day that God will uncover the hidden things of darkness. Join me in that prayer. That God will expose evil and bring about the triumph of good. In Christ, salvation stands secure. This strong foundation must endure. Stronger than death, his love is known, nor can his church be overthrown. It's on the rock of ages. In the eternal plan of grace, he undertook our wretched case. Love, how amazing! How divine throughout the whole transaction shine. He is the rock believers have, born to redeem and strong to save. He stooped to take our flesh and blood, the wondrous man, the incarnate God, in being combined hosts assailed. Nor shall the gates of hell prevail, nor force, nor fraud, the building shook, founded on him, the eternal rock. Is that what your faith is on tonight? Have you got the picture of the ant? Have you awakened from your sleep? Have you used the opportunity of your summer to prepare you for your harvest? Not a harvest of damnation, but a harvest of salvation. And have you heard the word about the coming? He didn't try to prepare a house of his own making, but he fled for refuge to the house that was created in the rocks by the hand of the everlasting God. And who is the rock of ages? The rock of ages is Christ himself, the hope of the church, the head of the church, the King of the church, and the Savior of my never-dying soul. Heed the word of God tonight. Don't be a sluggard and go to hell. Awaken and start for heaven. Don't try to build yourself a self-made salvation. Hide in the salvation prepared for you by the grace of God. I have laid in Zion the great foundation stone. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And we just pray now that God's blessing will be upon it. Awaken the sluggards, the sleepy sinners, the foolish men and women in this congregation who are going to hell, chloroformed by the devil's dope. Lord, awaken them. May they get off the train to perdition and join the gospel train to salvation. Oh God, may there be a change of heart tonight as the Holy Spirit does the work and applies the word. And we pray, our God and Father, that tonight many will go out and say, as they've never been able to say before, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And the people of God said, Amen.